Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fall turns to winter, and with it, contenders become champions.
And the game is over! Let the celebration begin!
But pretenders become exposed, and dreams will be dashed.
Fires into the end zone!
Georgia is on the mind of teams looking for a Super Bowl.
Welcome to Atlanta Sightseeing.
Ma'am, in this brochure, it says this tour is crump.
It's a gold rush for college football's national championship.
Low jump, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown. Alabama, the champion of college football.
The road to glory is documented here.
But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit. Challenges the brain.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday to you, everybody. So glad you're with us. Damon Amendolara, D.A. here on CBS Sports Radio. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Big Sunday Morning Football show for you coming up this morning. How about Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick from NFL Network. We'll talk about the crazy Thursday nighter between the Chargers and Chiefs with him, as well as preview today's Steelers and Patriots game from Pittsburgh. Brian Billick will join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. A little excessive celebration, your best play-by-play calls, not only of the early bowl slate, but also some NFL games. How about yesterday's two NFL games? Vegas virtuoso Nick Costos, also our odds maker du jour here on Sunday Morning Football. We'll look at the lines from a sharps perspective in hour number two. All of that coming up straight ahead here on Sunday Morning Football. And as always, you can watch the show. Check us out of the simulcast at watchda.com. That's available on any device. There was so much NFL stuff that happened this week, both on the field and off the field. Off the field, we don't know whether the Oakland Raiders are going to be the Oakland Raiders in 2019, meaning there might only be one home game left. On Thursday, on the field, the Chiefs defense once again let down one of the best fan bases in all of the NFL, which has been desperate, thirsty for a Super Bowl championship. And yesterday, in a Saturday game in the NFL, we saw a rookie quarterback place himself squarely in the pantheon of some of the great rookie quarterbacks in recent memory. We're hitting them all. It's time for your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, there are winners and there are losers. He shoots from the hip. D.A. is the Sunday Gunslinger.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
When you have to shoot, shoot. Don't talk.
Now jerk that pistol and go to work.
All right, let's do it.
When you look at Baker Mayfield's numbers yesterday, 18 of 31, 188 yards, two scores, and an interception, a quarterback rating of 84, nothing jumps off the page at you. Nothing suggests, my goodness, this guy's airing it out like a Patrick Mahomes. But the only number that really matters is the scoreboard, which says Browns 17, Broncos 16, and Cleveland, going into a full Week 15 slate today, is still alive for the playoffs because of a 6-7-1 record. And if you really look at this closely, you realize Baker Mayfield has not only lived up to being the number one pick in this draft, He is in the conversation for greatest rookie quarterback seasons ever.
Mayfield charges up to the line, slaps his hands into the shotgun with the Duke on his left hip. He wants the ball. He's got the ball. He's looking left. He throws end zone. Touchdown. It's Callaway. And the Browns lead with 11:44 to go in the game.
Jim Donovan, Browns Radio. And I'll tell you, it's not that Baker Mayfield has put up crazy stats, because he's thrown for just over 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But what you realize is, as he gets closer to the end zone, as he gets into the red zone, that's when he becomes his best. How about this? The highest passer ratings in the red zone this year. Drew Brees, number one. Patrick Mahomes, number three. Baker Mayfield, number two. On a list with Brees and Mahomes, Baker Mayfield is the second-rated passer in the red zone this year, and he only trails Drew Brees by a tenth of a point, 117.2 to 117.1. What I'm saying here is that the metrics that matter, Mayfield's been amazing. They're near 500 since they made the coaching change and Kitchens took over the play calling. Mayfield has soared. Confidence in the team has soared. He's better in the red zone. And statistically speaking, Baker Mayfield's going to end up with about 3,400 yards of passing and 25 touchdowns. And for a rookie quarterback in Cleveland, that's nothing short of a miracle. Look, it's not Marino in 83 who went 12-4 and in only 10 weeks threw for 20 touchdowns. It's not Dak who went 13-3 in 2016 with a 25-touchdown, 4-interception ratio. It's not Andrew Luck who threw for 4,300 yards in 2012 as a rookie. But you look at the numbers of some of the great rookie quarterbacks, and granted, recent stats are going to be benefited because of the recent rules changes. So a lot of the best rookie seasons happened for quarterbacks over the last 10 years. Cam Newton threw for 4,000 yards and 21 touchdowns. But the fact is, Baker Mayfield has lived up to every bit of expectation this year and more. And props, Browns fans. You're watching relevant football nearing Christmas. You have not been able to say that in more than a decade. And even beyond that, almost never, if you really take the new Browns since 1999. Amazing. Chiefs fans in Kansas City wanted to believe. They saw Patrick Mahomes as the savior, the guy that would finally end all the misery in January. And the Kansas City Chiefs had built a 2-touchdown lead midway through the fourth quarter at home against the Chargers. And Phillip Rivers has had a real problem beating the Chiefs, especially at Arrowhead. So on Thursday, of course, Chiefs fans wanted to believe. They wanted to believe that this Chiefs season is different. Except there's been a little pit in their heart all year long, saying, how is this going to go bad? How is my heart going to be broken again? How are we going to lose? And with a 2-touchdown lead on Thursday night against the Chargers, that little pit in their heart started thumping. Just please, please don't be what I've worried about. Please don't be what I have nightmares about. Please don't be what our reality has been for 25 years of a Chiefs franchise that is been one of the best of the regular season, go into the playoffs, have home playoff games, and always gag them away. And here is Rivers converting third downs, converting fourth downs, converting touchdowns, and converting two-point conversions. And the Chiefs fan that didn't want to believe it was going to end poorly again now has reason to believe all of their worst fears will be realized.
Rivers in the shotgun. Looks to the right for Mike Williams. Throws to Mike Williams. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Chargers! Mike Williams with his third of the day.
Matt Money Smith, Chargers Radio. The Chiefs defense was a disgrace on Thursday. And I know Mahomes and the offense got the football back with 3 minutes and change. And had they just strung together a couple of first downs, they could have soaked the clock. And if you're the Chiefs and you're at home and your ball is in your hands for the win and Mahomes, you'll take your chances. But that Chiefs defense cannot give up two long drives, conversion after conversion, and touchdown after touchdown, and then lose the receiver in the end zone of the two-point conversion. I don't want to admit the Chiefs fans might have been right all along. I don't want to admit that the Chiefs fan that was worried and pessimistic and paranoid was right all along. But watching Thursday, I said, my God, we're watching the same nightmare happen again. This is the same exact way the Chiefs always lose. I've seen this in 95 with Lynn Elliott. I saw this in 97 with Elvis Gerbach. I saw this a couple of years ago with Alex Smith. We've seen it time and time and time and time and time and time again. It happened with Matt Castle. It'll happen again. And here we are, a two-touchdown lead. And oh my God, I've seen the pain in Chiefs fans' faces before. It's a dark, cold night at Arrowhead Stadium in December or January, and they're dressed up in their Chiefs Zubaz and their red hat and their red Chiefs starter jacket, and I'm going, no way, I've seen this, I've seen this. And my heart goes out. My heart goes out to one of the best football cities we have, because they don't deserve this pain again. You know when you have the anxiety dream and it's always the same dream? Either you go to class and you're naked, or you're falling off a cliff, or something happens that you just always have the same nightmare. Chiefs fans have lived this nightmare and woken themselves out of bed every year, from the Schottenheimer years to the Dick Vermeil years. Oh, Greg Robinson has no defense. Oh, I've seen this before. Every year, the scenario is the same. And once again, it's happening. It's happening. And finally, one of the most disgraceful stories in recent memory in the NFL. Suddenly, because of a lawsuit launched from the city of Oakland against the team of the Raiders, the organization, we don't know whether the Raiders have one home game left in Oakland. Derek Carr, is that weird?
That is crazy. And that, to me, that just seems weird. It just seems different to even have to think that way, because I've spent 5 years playing in this stadium, and you know, we have people talking trash about it and whatever they want, but I love it. You know, it's ours, you know, and it's been fun. The fact that it could be the last is crazy, but when that time comes, we'll enjoy it, you know, when it comes.
Okay, so I'm not going to absolve blame from the city of Oakland. And I'm not going to absolve blame from the Oakland Raiders. And I realize these are two parents fighting. Mommy and daddy is fighting, and the fans are caught in the middle. But the NFL is disgraceful and not stepping in and making sure this is not a thing. Okay, the NFL, the league, cannot dump this at the feet of the Raider fan that has been there since 1961 and has shown up for 4-12 seasons and 3-13 seasons and garbage quarterbacks and garbage coaches and garbage seasons year after year after year with passion and black and silver face paint and spikes on their shoulder pads. You cannot allow that fan base to not know whether Christmas Eve may be the last game they ever have it in town. It can't get to this level. The NFL is responsible for stepping in and playing mediator here and making sure this is not an unknown. If this was going to be the final year ever for the Raiders at Oakland, it sucks, but at least the fans would have known. It was always assumed next year was the final year. And now, I don't know. Hopefully you don't have anything going on December 24th. Is that a big day? Does anybody do anything on that day? Anybody have family plans on December the 24th? That's not annually anything big, right? You guys have a clear schedule. Cool, because that might be the final game you ever have in your stadium. I mean, what a joke. What an absolute joke. What a spit in the eye of Raider fans for the league. I don't care how this gets done. It needs to get done. Raider fan needs to know they've got 2019. They need to know that. And that can't just be a, well, you might want to show up on Christmas Eve because, I don't know, it might be the last game you ever have. We're not quite sure yet. We'll figure that out. No. That's not how this works. This isn't Take a number at the deli line and maybe we'll get to your sandwich. This is your life. This is these fans' passion for 50 some odd years. And you're going to just drop on them. Yeah, that December 24th game, it might be the last one. We're not quite sure yet. We'll figure it out when we get there. No. Figure it out now so these people have at least a modicum of respect from the power brokers in the NFL. 855-212-4CBS is your phone number. You want to dial me up on any of those topics or anything football related, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Brian Billick from the NFL Network will join us. We'll preview today's Patriots and Steelers game. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome inside Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you. You can be locked in as well on your app using the CBS Sports app or radio.com or Apple Music. So check us out there. Joining us now is a Super Bowl winning head coach and NFL Network analyst. You can catch him on Twitter at Coach Billick. You can see him every Wednesday on NFL Network's NFL Playbook, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coach Brian Billick joining us this morning on the show. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you.
Hey, let's start with Thursday night's game, the thriller between the Chiefs and the Chargers, because it was a 2-touchdown lead late for the Chiefs. And, of course, we saw Phillip Rivers and the Chargers come back for a win. I'm wondering about that Chiefs defense. Is that the type of moment where you really have to wonder whether the Chiefs D has what it takes to really get to where they need to go, which is a Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, first, what a spectacular game, wasn't it? I mean, just a game, particularly this time of year where you recognize the importance of every game and how it affects the playoffs and the seeding and everything else that goes into it. But, you know, two spectacular quarterbacks, two really good teams. I think you make a valid observation. That has always been the question mark. Is spectacular as Patrick Mahomes and that offense is, can the defense hold up enough, particularly against good teams? And it was a back-and-forth battle that way. To see what San Diego did on the road in Kansas City without Keenan Allen, without Melvin Gordon, you know, just a spectacular performance by Phillip Rivers and that offense, and the defense as well, keeping, although Kansas City moved the ball pretty well, that defense and kind of that hybrid defense that they have with those safety slash linebackers is pretty special. So that was a huge signature win for San Diego to go on the road this late into Kansas City and serve notice like they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that they may be the best team in the AFC.
You know, you've seen the entirety of Phillip Rivers' career. You've coached against Phillip Rivers. And yet, as we all know, Rivers has never been to a Super Bowl. When you see where he is right now in his career, a type of comeback that he had on Thursday night, do you think this is the year he can finally climb that summit that he hasn't been able to climb, getting and winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah, one of the hardest things to do is to separate the play of a quarterback and judging him and separate it from what's going on around him. And I don't know that what has gone on around him consistently hasn't been a factor. I think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame level quarterback. Now, he may have to have that final piece in terms of the Super Bowl. Certainly there are non-Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, whether it be Dan Marino, Warren Moon, that have gotten in to the Hall of Fame. I think his numbers justified. He's been through so many different systems, so many different styles of teams, and kind of hidden away in what was San Diego. Not that you're going to hide in L.A. now, but even now he's in L.A. and he's in some high school stadium. You know, they don't even get a legitimate stadium to play in. It's kind of been the story of his career. And I will tell you, when Phillip Rivers came out, I was a bit of a skeptic. His throwing motion was so unorthodox. He kind of pushed the ball. You weren't sure if it was going to be able to transfer into the NFL, but he's just been spectacular. And his longevity, his ability to always be there along the lines of a Brett Favre and an Eli Manning in terms of his consecutive starts, he's just had a spectacular career.
Brian Billick is our guest this morning on Sunday Morning Football. CBS Sports Radio. Let's look ahead to today's game. I think the biggest one is probably Steelers and Patriots, at least in the AFC. And speaking of that 2004 quarterback class, Ben Roethlisberger, of course, one of the heads of that class. Now, last week, Roethlisberger apparently was okay to come back after injuring his ribs against the Oakland Raiders. Mike Tomlin admitted that he held him out a couple of drives, and Tomlin cut flack for that this week because, of course, the Steelers did not come back to win that game against the Raiders. Do you think sometimes Tomlin gets into trouble because he's kind of so transparent at the podium that maybe there's information he should just kind of keep closer to the vest instead of opening himself up for criticism? Or did you not have a problem with the way that all went down?
No, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you're going to, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And of course, we know Ben, and again, Ben Roethlisberger, one of the great quarterbacks. To me, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, no question. But, you know, Ben is a drama queen. You know, how many times have we seen him, oh, the arm's just hanging there, you know, and he drags the leg into the game and then cranks off a 60-yard pass for an 80-yard touchdown. You know, that's just been the way Ben has operated. This next 2 weeks are going to test Ben. I mean, it's going to be on Ben Roethlisberger. They've got New England, and then they have to go to New Orleans. And if they're going to hold off Baltimore in the AFC North, Baltimore's got the Chargers to play in L.A. But other than that, their schedule, you know, pans out a little bit easier. It really, even though the team has played fairly well and the defense has been better, they need to run the ball better, obviously, if Connor can get healthy. But it's going to fall right on the shoulders of Ben Roethlisberger to be able to pull off the wins these next 2 weeks.
You know, you were on the sidelines for so many epic contests against the Steelers, Ravens, Steelers for so many years, the rivalry of the NFL. What was it like to see Roethlisberger get up slowly, hold his shoulder, hold his knee, and yet know that you really had it knocked him out of the game? He was just kind of soaking that injury for all it was worth.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I remember when Ben Roethlisberger first came on the scene. They were playing us in Baltimore. Tommy Maddox was their quarterback, and we knocked Tommy Maddox out of the game. Really, kind of ended his career. And Ben Roethlisberger, and that was year. If you remember, they come in, and I think he went like 14-2 or 13-3 or something like that. And you know, I look back and I told my defensive guys, I don't touch Maddox. Okay, whatever you do, don't hit this guy. We don't want this young Roethlisberger to come in. It's been amazing to watch his career. I think the thing about Ben Roethlisberger that strikes me is the fact that he probably does more with fewer throws than any other Hall of Fame quarterback in the modern era. You know, Drew Brees is brilliant. He's been, this is a 650, 700 throw guy, although Ben's on that pace this year to have those kind of throws. But the box score for a Ben Roethlisberger game, you know, it could be 11 of 23 for 375 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, it's amazing that he's able to produce the way he does.
Brian Billick joining us this morning on the show. I'll wrap up with the Patriots side of that matchup because, of course, last week we saw how they lost against Miami. That was just crazy. How jarring was it for you as someone who's coached against Bill Belichick to see Gronk out there on that final play, which just seems like strategically the biggest mistake you can make in that spot?
Well, there's a reason for it. If they're going to look for the Hail Mary, you know, you want a guy big, physical, that's got the ups. I'm sure that was mentality. I remember we used to put Randy Moss back there when I was in Minnesota to finish out a game. If they were going to throw up some kind of Hail Mary or something, you know, for them to lose the way they did with that play, there's nobody better at strategic football than Bill Belichick. It's, well, should they? No, you that kind of play, you can't coach against. You can't prepare for it. You can't even spend any time for it. We've seen it how many times, short of the Stanford-Cal game and whenever that was, have we seen that type of thing try to be pulled off and it never does. You just try to play basic, spread out, let them, because there's usually a penalty involved. They usually get some kind of forward pass in there. So I don't know that you can lay fault at a coach's feet strategically or tactically when a play like that just, you know, by sheer happenstance wins a game.
NFL fans, follow Brian Billick on Twitter. You can check him out at Coach Billick. You watch him every Wednesday. NFL Network's NFL Playbook at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:30 Pacific. Coach, really great to catch up. Thanks so much. Enjoy the football today.
Sounds good.
Brian Billick joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, excessive celebration. We'll mix some college football calls from yesterday with some NFL calls from yesterday as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio. This is Sunday Morning Football.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are heard every single Sunday morning throughout football season, 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, 6 until 9 Pacific across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. And you can listen to us on Sirius XM Channel 206. Sirius XM Channel 206. And watch the proceedings, the simulcast going on at watchda.com on any device you'd like made available to you. Watchda.com every single Sunday morning. Coming up next hour here on the show, our Vegas virtuoso Nick Kostos, NFL handicapping savant, is going to drop on by to look at today's NFL action. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. These are some of the rare Saturdays on the calendar where NFL is being played. Historically speaking, this goes back to really the 50s and 60s. The NFL wanted to expand its television footprint back then. It was still in its infancy of its television contract, and Pete Rozelle wanted to play more games on more days. But there was pushback from the NFL monopolizing all of the days of the weekend, even back then, because college football was so popular. And so in 1961, essentially, Pete Rozelle and the NFL agreed, we won't play football on Friday nights for high school or Saturday for college until college is done. And so now we have the NFL season that will only expand into Saturdays, essentially when the college football season is done. So essentially after the Army-Navy game. There were bowl games yesterday, but that's kind of a new brand of college football. This is kind of grandfathered in. And so these are the few Saturdays a year where the NFL plays on Saturdays for the final 2 or 3 weeks, usually, of the regular season. So we usually do excessive celebration, the best play-by-play calls of college football action. But because we had a great Thursday nighter in the NFL and two NFL games yesterday, we'll weave in NFL and college for your best play-by-play calls today.
The soundtrack of the NFL.
It's intercepted!
The radio team going berserk.
It's a floater downfield. Intercepted at the 35-yard line.
It's excessive celebration.
He makes the catch. He is in. Touchdown.
So let's go back to Thursday night's game. Chiefs and Chargers. And the Chiefs hold a 14-point lead midway through the fourth quarter at home. All the Chiefs' defense needs to do is get one stop. One stop and two drives. That could be just keeping them out of the end zone on one of those touchdowns. Certainly the two-point conversion can't happen. Get off the field on one of those fourth down conversions. And yet, like Chinese water torture, drip, 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 drip. Essentially, Chiefs fans were tortured in the final fourth quarter and the two final drives of that game. And then for it to end like that, the two-point conversion where Mike Williams is left completely unguarded. It's your first clip from excessive celebration.
Shotgun snap, Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone, caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28.
Matt Money Smith on Chargers Radio. As I said before, there's just no excuse for it. And I know that the Chiefs offense also did them in because they've got the football back with a touchdown lead with 3 and change to play. And all they need to do is get a couple of first downs. Hell, one first down might have won that game, and they couldn't. But at the end of the day, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, a 2-touchdown lead midway through the fourth quarter cannot be given up by your defense, and it was. And this is why it is hard to totally trust the Chiefs, and it is why so many Chiefs fans are waiting for the bottom to drop out, because it's always dropped out of them. And this defense feels like it is just perfectly suited to give away a big lead for Patrick Mahomes. If this Chiefs team is able to get over the hump to get to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. It will have exercised all of those demons. But it's just hard to imagine when your defense does something like that. And look, Phillip Rivers is a really good quarterback, and perhaps this is Phillip Rivers' time. And the Chargers' offense right now is clicking, and that's a very good San Diego team that's now an L.A. team. It really should still be in San Diego. Because imagine if the Chargers finally win a Super Bowl and San Diego doesn't even get to celebrate it. But there's an element of this season that feels a little bit like 1997. Hear me out. The AFC West that year, the Chiefs, I believe, were 13-3 and the best team in the AFC. They got the number one seed. The second best team in the AFC that year was the Denver Broncos at 12-4. It was an excellent team that just didn't win the division because the Chiefs were so good. Divisional round, after a wild card win, the Broncos go to Arrowhead Stadium and beat the Chiefs, the number one seed, and then go on to win a Super Bowl. That was John Elway, end of his career, finally getting his first ring. It could be history again, because you could have the Chiefs get the one seed and have the Chargers play wild card weekend, and then a veteran quarterback looking for his first ring, perhaps a Hall of Famer, coming into Arrowhead in the division. It just so happens that that's the year the two best teams in the AFC are coming out of the AFC West. Couldn't you see the Chargers doing that again at Arrowhead to the Chiefs? I mean, I hate to keep bringing up all these nightmares, but this is the reality for Chiefs fans. They've lived this, they've breathed it, they've dealt with it. It feels like it's just watching the same car wreck in slow motion again. Elsewhere in the NFL, as we mentioned yesterday, the Cleveland Browns getting a win and keeping themselves in the playoff hunt. They're 6-7-1. At the end of the game, down one, Case Keenum of the Broncos on a fourth down, looking to extend the drive. The Browns need a stop to win.
On fourth down, Keenum waits, takes the snap. He bobbles it, stumbles, he got hit, he got sacked! He got sacked!
Peppers!
Peppers got him! He got him! Peppers got him! Pour a little pepper on it! The Browns are going to win it! With 39 seconds left to go in the game, on fourth down and 10, Peppers came up with the play of the game!
Pour a little pepper on it! Jim Donovan on Browns Radio. How about how different this team is without Hugh Jackson? I mean, if you need any evidence not to hire Hugh as a head coach, since Hugh was fired, they are 4-1. And I laughed at Browns fans in the offseason that were telling me we could go worst to first, DA. We could be 0-16 to winning the division. I said, please. Baby steps, boys and girls. Baby steps. I laughed. And so even if they make it to 8-8, that's an 8-game improvement. Teams don't usually make 8-game improvements. If they win 8 games, that's 8 more than last year. Let's just start there instead of trying to win the division. And yet here they are at 6-7-1. And in the playoff hunt, this team could end up at 8-7-1, which is pretty damn close to 8-8. And that might be good enough to win the division because the Steelers keep dumping all over themselves. I mean, today against the Patriots, a loss there, and the Steelers are closer to 500, and the Ravens are right around 500, a game over right now. So it's insane to think about. A lot of things have to happen, but more than anything, since Greg Williams took over at 4-1 and Kitchens took over the offense, they've just felt differently. They're playing with confidence. The final two games of the season against the Bengals and the Ravens are winnable games for them. And the Browns have such a bright future, and Browns fans are so deserving of a team with a bright future that it's been really awesome to watch the development happen, because so oftentimes in the NFL, we expect it and say, oh, here's when it happens, and it doesn't. And we've said that for the Browns for a long time, and now we're saying not only is it going to happen, it's actually physically happening. You can see the Browns become a better team essentially overnight. And finally, in the bowl games yesterday, the best finish was in the Camellia Bowl, where Georgia Southern lined up for a game-winning field goal against Eastern Michigan.
Langan to snap it, Bowerly to hold it. This to win the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. Three ticks left, snap and hold. Bass swings, on the way, it's gone!
Okay, so I love everything about that. That is Georgia Southern Radio on Learfield Sports. Guys, I'm going to ask you a favor. Can we cue that up again? Because I just want you, as the listeners across America, to think about this. We laugh at these bowl games, saying they're silly, they're ridiculous. Who are these sponsors? There's a Cheez-It Bowl this year. There is literally a Cheez-It Bowl. And we say, who cares about the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl? The voice of Georgia Southern freaking cares about the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl.
Langan to snap it. Bowerly to hold it. This to win the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. Three ticks left. Snap and hold. Bass swings. On the way. It's gone! It is well with my soul in Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl! 23-21!
Have you ever heard such excitement surrounding a bowl game on the opening day? The Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. That sounded like it was the Super Bowl. I would be surprised if Mitch Holt's voice of the Chiefs sounded that excited if the Chiefs won the AFC Championship. It's the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl! Georgia Southern fans dance in the streets! We are Camellia Bowl champions! Look at the games that were played yesterday. And I love the bowl season and I love these bowl games. It was the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl, the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, the New Mexico Bowl presented by Progressive, and therein squeezed in is the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, and this guy's melting down over it. Melting down. What a beautiful moment. Beautiful.
Rightful heirs, Georgia Southern.
It's like Merrill Reese last year with the Eagles championship.
It is rightfully ours.
That's your excessive celebration. There's no bowl game today. Your next bowl game's coming up on Tuesday night. The Cherubundi Boca Raton Bowl.
Championship
UAB in Northern Illinois. On Wednesday is the DXL Frisco Bowl, the venerable Frisco Bowl, San Diego State in Ohio. Thursday is the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, Marshall, South Florida. I know where you will all be on Thursday night. Friday night is the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl, FIU against Toledo. Western Michigan and BYU at beautiful Albertson Stadium in Boise for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Next Saturday, the Jared Birmingham Bowl, Memphis and Wake Forest. Houston and Army in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Buffalo Troy in the Dollar General Bowl. Because if there's a trophy you want to bring home, it is always the Dollar General Trophy. I'm assuming you can get it for a dollar at a Dollar General. And Hawaii, Louisiana Tech in the SoFi Hawaii Bowl. That's all next Saturday. And when the Cheez-It Bowl between Cal and TCU pops up in a couple weeks, you know we will be all over it here on Sunday Morning Football. When we come back, the Steelers or the Patriots today, perhaps the game of the day. Can the Steelers come back to life after a three-game losing streak in the way that they lost last week? Should we be questioning Carson Wentz's long-term durability? He's out again. And is an expanded college football playoff inevitable? DA with you, Sunday Morning Football. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.